iPatriots.us is a new conservative alternative to liberal-based email services. It's secure, private, and safe. No ads or spam. And they won't collect or sell your data ever. Go to iPatriots.us right now. Pick your membership, and at checkout, select your own iPatriots email address. Enter promo code USA10 for 10% savings during your first year of membership.
Hey, it's that time of year for those of you, God forbid, you got to keep your New Year's resolution. What if you're a timeshare owner and you want to get out of your timeshare? Maybe that's at the top of your list, or maybe you made a bad investment over the years. It doesn't matter. Let not your heart be troubled, because the new year is also a reminder that you can get serious about getting rid of this timeshare and doing it right and doing it legally. And Lone Star Transfer is absolutely an amazing group of people. From beginning to end, I highly recommend, if you have any type of timeshare, I want you to contact Lone Star and tell them I told you to call. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation, and they'll help get you out of your timeshare. They'll do it the right way, the legal way, and it will take very little effort on your part, just by calling #250 on your mobile phone and saying the keyword timeshare. That's #250 on your cell phone, keyword timeshare. You can check them out online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from iHeartMedia.
All right, glad you're with us. Happy Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. And write down our toll-free telephone number. We would love you to be a part of this extravaganza. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. We got a lot coming up. The huge, massive developments that happened on Friday. So we're preparing the TV show. Now, if you remember, let's go back Friday to the BuzzFeed story. And now, I'm going to give you a little back channel, back maybe insider baseball information. Linda hated the story. She's like, why are you doing the story? Why would you give them credibility? They're the ones that never vetted the dossier, and they just published it and put it up there. And I said, I'm doing it because there are so many alarms here that, you know, if you just pay a little bit of attention, if you care a little bit about the truth, the media would have been at least cautious, but they're not capable of it, especially if it's a story that is in any way that fits their anti-hate Trump narrative. I mean, we played on Friday night, we were able to get this on TV. Well, we haven't independently verified, but impeach him. That's where it went. This is how bad it got. That CNN, MSNBC, mention Trump impeachment 200 plus times before Robert Mueller, for whatever reason, interesting theory of Joe DiGenova on Friday, he calls it the William Barr effect. In other words, there's going to be a new sheriff in town in charge of this investigation, and he predicted that William Barr is going to sit Mueller down and say, for example, on this issue, well, was it true? Did Cohn give you that information? Why didn't you tell the public? So he thinks that there's a direct correlation between the new attorney general, soon to be new attorney general, and what Mueller's actions were about on Friday. I don't know. I have no idea what motivated Mueller, because he's had hundreds of opportunities to do this. But this is what they do. They are invested. This is fake news. This is what we have been screaming about and giving you example after example about. You know, this story that they ran with and they owned and they loved every single second of it, because they are so now invested in destroying a duly elected president that any titillating little minor piece of information that they think validates all their previously false reporting it's like manna from heaven for them. It's God within them sending down a flood of living waters into their souls. That's what it's like. It was a fraud. It was a lie. All the indications that this was a dubious story were there from the get-go. Start with the one lead reporter. There were two co-authors of this piece on Friday, as I mentioned Friday. Jason Leopold is his name. You know, the Columbia Journalism Review actually went over this guy's work and pretty much said he makes bleep up all the time. He's the guy that broke the big story. Karl Rove's going to be indicted. Well, that should be a warning sign. If you're in the media business that, hang on, we better, before we go with this, let's check it out. Then we had the other co-author of this piece literally say they saw no documents to back up their story. And then Leopold said, we did see some of the evidence. Okay, hang on a second. That doesn't work well either. You know, but Leopold's the guy in 2006 shook the world with news that Karl Rove told President Bush and his chief of staff at the time, Josh Bolton, as well as a few others, that he would be indicted for leaking Valerie Plame's name to the media. And that was another strange occurrence, because that whole special counsel disaster, that's with Fitzpatrick, knew on day one it was Richard Armitage that did it. They knew on day one that office should have been shut down. So, you know, and his lead reporter on the case even had his own memoir canceled. When you go to the, I'll read from the Columbia Journalism Review. Fast forward, March 2005, Leopold's memoir, Off the Record, set to be released. In the book, according to Howard Kurtz, Leopold says he details his own lying, cheating, and backstabbing, and comes clean about how he got fired from the Los Angeles Times and quit Dow Jones just before they fired him, because, as he said, it seems like I got all the facts wrong on a story about Enron. And then the publisher canceled production just before it went to press after one of the book's sources threatened to sue so-called sources. That source, who was a spokesman for the California governor at the time, Gray Davis, said that he just got it completely wrong. The other part of it is there should have been, I know the media loves this Michael Cohen, this version of Michael, and this is Michael's problem. He got into trouble because of what he said to Congress that he's now saying turned out to be false. And then we, you know, and here's another thing. Why would Trump ever, who put this up? I think it was Daily Caller or somebody. Why would Trump ask Cohn to lie when Don Jr. told the truth? Huh? Think. They got to think before they rush to judgment. But they're so giddy with excitement and anticipation because their narrative to take this man down continues every second, every minute, every hour of every day. And one reporter says no evidence at all to support our report. The other says, oh, no, I have seen it. Well, what is it? That was all there long before they started this impeachment, rush to judgment. Why would BuzzFeed sources not show the corroborating evidence? You know, all these books that are written, Michael Wolff's book, he writes about me in the book. I see him and I said, Michael, I said, what you wrote is a lie. It's not true. I said, why? And I was doing the guy a favor at the time. I said, why would you make this up out of whole cloth? It was not a big deal. It was not. It was something trivial. I don't even remember what it was. But I remember confronting him about it. And this is now the 700th bombshell that's supposed to get the president impeached, because that's what they want. It is, you know, I've said journalism is dead. Journalism is buried. I want to talk about all the examples. I printed out Friday 47 pages from 2017 alone in the Washington Examiner of similar false reporting about Donald Trump that they got wrong. It happens again and again. And it is, we don't have journalism. I said, well, Hannity, you have strong opinions on these things. Okay, let me explain for the 500 millionth time. Yes, I work in the media. Yes, I work in the press. A lot of different roles in the press. Think of a newspaper. A newspaper has a local news section, a national news section, an international news section, if it's a decent paper. It has a sports page. It has an opinion page. Many still have cartoons in the newspaper. We do hours and hours of straight news on both radio and TV. I can produce them. Where I offer no opinions, we're covering a big breaking news story. When we go to war, when there's a natural disaster. Linda, how many times, hundreds of hours we could produce. Then we also do investigative work. Yeah, we investigated and we vetted Obama when no one else would. For 2 years, another example of bias is what they choose not to report on. Last week, we have for 2 years now, started in March of 17, when Sarah Carter, John Solomon, right on this program, broke the story about a 350% increase in when we had surveillance and unmaskings of American citizens. Well, that was very suspicious because that meant that they were using the tools of intelligence against the American people. We're still not completely done with that investigation. One of the biggest victims of this was General Flynn. In his case, they surveilled, they unmasked, and then they leaked it. And then they set him up, we now know, by having Andrew McCabe said, oh, you don't need a lawyer. And Comey bragging that he broke all previous protocols, something he'd never do in any other administration. On the fourth day of the Trump administration, he sent in his FBI agents, knowing he was setting up Flynn for a perjury trap, which is not how justice is supposed to be served either. Think back. Nobody vetted Obama. Nobody in this current media, the hate Trump media, is looking at the single biggest abuse of power, corruption scandal in history, involving they literally protected a guilty party, Hillary Clinton, because she was their preferred candidate from getting indicted. Just the emails alone is obstruction of justice. Then they, of course, we now learn last week, under Jim Comey, his FBI, not only his deputy FBI director, Andrew McCabe, is under criminal investigation. Now his general counsel is under criminal investigation. And then we learn that Bruce Orr knew that the dossier was bought and paid for by Hillary, put together by a Trump hater by the name of Michael Steele, that it was dubious at best, none of it verified, none of it corroborated, and later becomes the bulk of information. And we'll have Carter Page on the program today. The bulk of information to obtain a FISA warrant on a Trump campaign associate, which backdoors them into everything in the Trump campaign. And they did it anyway. That means anybody that signed it committed a crime. It is the biggest abuse of power we've ever seen. And they ignore that story. And, you know, it is. And then we can take it a step further this weekend, if that's not bad enough. When we get to the story of, you know, these kids that were there for the pro-life march in Washington, and then the confrontation that happened there, and how one little snippet sent the entire media class into a frenzy. Listen, they get it all wrong. They won't vet Obama. 8 years later, they never told you the horrible story he's done. I actually went down and interviewed George Zimmerman. Even the president rushed to judgment in that case. We studied stand your ground laws. I learned this with Richard Jewell. I've told you that story many times. He fits the profile of a lone bomber. He lives with his mother. And he got a great attorney. I think this ended up killing this poor guy who was a hero. Or Duke LaCrosse. I took the time and went and met some of the families with Duke LaCrosse while everybody else rushed to judgment. Or you got Ferguson, Missouri, and everybody anticipated the verdict there. Or Baltimore and Freddie Gray. Or UVA. Or the Cambridge police. How many times can these people get everything wrong before you realize they're not? They claim that they're only news. I'm telling you, I'm an entire newspaper. This show is an entire newspaper. We do news, investigative reporting. We do commentary, opinion. We even do sports. By the way, the New Orleans Saints got screwed royally yesterday. That was horrible.
Terrible call, or lack of call, really.
Lack of call. Terrible. And let the truth be told, don't ever bet against Tom Brady and Belichick. They're too good. And me and my son were talking before the game. I said, we're both like, you can't bet against Brady. Hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer. And Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke, cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. All right, I apologize before I do this. It was in the New York Post. It got cut off when I printed the story, one of their writers, but it was in the Post, and we'll find that. This is what they write. They write, the gotcha, the glee, the declarations of Trump's certain impeachment for suborning perjury. Find out who wrote it. It got cut off. Reckless references to Nixon, the breathless anticipation of resignation, disgrace, perhaps prison. These and other overheated reactions quickly clogged the airwaves, the internet, growing ever more bold as the day wore on, and no compelling rebuttal appeared. And it says this in the New York Post. Hatred for the president has corrupted their judgment, blinded them to duty and decency. Having succumbed to prejudice rage, they have proven themselves unworthy of public trust. It's about the media. It's 1,000% right. Case closed. 1,000%. How many more examples? Michael Goodwin wrote the piece. I thought it was Michael. Okay. You know, how many more times has this happened? I printed out 47 pages the Washington Examiner had compiled. I got it here in front of 47 small printed pages. We'll scroll a lot of it tonight on Hannity. Remember the fake hysteria about NPR's fake Don Jr. story and the hype surrounding Michael Cohen's Prague trip that had never happened. Guardian's report on Manafort. It is, or what about CNN having to fire people over Scaramucci? This is only the tip of the iceberg of false reporting, fake news. Call it whatever you want. They're not journalists. They're not news organizations either. All right, 25 till the top of the hour. Let me go back to Michael Goodwin's column in the New York Post here for a minute, because it's extraordinarily well written, and it just pulled my attention and immediately. He writes, the gotcha glee, this is Friday BuzzFeed, the declarations of Trump's certain impeachment for suborning perjury, reckless references to Richard Nixon, the breathless anticipation of resignation and disgrace, perhaps prison. These and other overheated reactions quickly clogged the airwaves and the internet, growing ever more bold as the day wore on and no compelling rebuttal appeared. Now, I knew for a fact that the media was also being warned pretty early, much earlier than reported by the special counsel's office, that they should be careful with this story. I know people that talk to representatives in the special counsel's office that told me all the big news organizations, they were warned. It didn't stop them. And as Michael writes, hatred for the president has corrupted their judgments, blinded them to duty and decency, having succumbed to prejudice and rage. They have proven themselves unworthy of the public trust, case closed. And he's right. This is what I mean. Every second, every minute, every hour of every single day, it is nonstop Trump hate. Anonymous sourcing, fine. I love another line Michael wrote. He said, many touted it as the Holy Grail while inserting the ridiculous phrase, if it's true. Think about that. It gives them all the justification for endless speculation on something that they have not vetted themselves.
story, which has not been confirmed by NBC News.
We should note CNN has not independently confirmed BuzzFeed's reporting, nor for that matter has anyone else.
An explosive new report that, if true,
and if you believe the reporting, if this is confirmed,
if all of this is true,
if true,
we don't have sourcing that confirms this story, but we're not getting steered off of it.
We don't know for sure. You said you couldn't corroborate this.
If true,
this is a potentially very big development.
If it's true,
you're fired.
And Michael goes on, that phrase, if it's true, is an admission of malpractice. And he's right. You know, who are we talking about here? The president of the United States. It should be for anybody. Look at the Kavanaugh hearings. The rush to judgment. No presumption of innocence. The things that were said. They don't ever learn. I'll get into the Covington case in a minute. But I could trace the history of it. I first said that journalism is dead in 2007. I wasn't wrong. Look, I'm a talk show host. We do straight news sometimes. We do investigative reporting, like vetting Obama. For March of this year, it will be 2 years since we began the effort to vet and unpeel the onion as it relates to the deep state. Look at how far we've gotten. Look at what they can be biased in what they don't report. The biggest abuse of power case in history, where literally top FBI agents willingly protect one candidate, the favored candidate, from certain indictment if we had equal justice under the law, so that they can defeat the unfavored candidate using all their powers to do so. Imagine just for a second if you deleted subpoenaed emails and used bleach bit to acid wash your hard drive and busted up your devices, BlackBerries and iPhones with a hammer. Imagine if you did it. I don't think the media is going to stop. Or then that, of course, the phony Russian dossier. What did we learn about it? The FBI last week? Not only is Andrew McCabe, the deputy FBI director under Comey, in a criminal investigation, so is the general counsel under Comey, James Baker, now under a criminal investigation. We still have the IG report we expect on FISA. Then we learned last week with John Solomon reporting that Bruce Orr warned everybody involved in this, in the FBI, the DOJ, warned them that Hillary bought and paid for Russian lies put together by a Trump hater, and none of it's verified and none of it's corroborated. Full on warning. But as we've now discovered, Grassley Graham memo, Nunes memo, the bulk of information in the FISA applications, they were warned in August of 2016. The first FISA warrant application was in October of 2016. They used it anyway. And as McCabe once said, no dossier. We don't have a FISA warrant. They wouldn't have been approved. That is a big story. They didn't vet that. They never took the time to vet Obama like we did. And let's see, Frank Marshall Davis, Acorn Alinsky, the Church of GD America, Reverend Wright for 20 years. We had the only interview with Reverend Wright in 2007. I did. They didn't vet Ayers and Dorn. I mean, George Stephanopoulos is about to host a debate. He's on this program promoting his debate that he's anchoring or moderating. I said, well, you're going to ask the Ayers and Dorn question. He goes, what's that?
There are two questions that I don't think anybody has asked Barack Obama, and I don't know if this is going to be on your list tomorrow. One is the only time he's ever been asked about his association with Bill Ayers, the unrepentant terrorist from the Weather Underground, who on 9/11 of all days in the New York Times was saying, I don't regret setting bombs. I don't think we did enough. When asked about it by the Politico, David Axelrod said they have a friendly relationship and that they had done a number of speeches together and that they sat on a board together. Is that a question you might ask?
Well, I'm taking notes right now.
September 11, 2001, of all days, there was an article in the New York Times, and there are a number of quotes about Bill Ayers, and the Politico had in there the comments about from David Axelrod. I think that's an interesting question that nobody in the media has really brought up. We've highlighted a little bit more here on this program, but let me see if I can help you. You want any more questions?
Yeah, keep going.
The Chicago Reader.
He didn't know. But he did ask the question, and, you know, he's some guy in the neighborhood, George, some guy in the neighborhood that he began his political career inside his house. The media ignored it. That was the only question he ever got in his run-up to the presidency. Just like nobody ever covers how bad things got. 13 million more Americans on food stamps, 8 million more in poverty. You heard me say this all throughout 2016. Look at how wrong the media is. CNN accusing Don Jr. of WikiLeaks collusion. False. ABC, remember they tanked the stock market with fake Flynn news? They suspended Brian Ross after he falsely reported that Flynn was prepared to testify that Donald Trump ordered him to make contact with the Russians. False. You know, Scaramucci, the mooch. Remember, three people, CNN, relying on a single unnamed source to claim that he was under investigation for meetings that he took with a Russian banker prior to the inauguration. False. Bloomberg's dirty Deutsche Bank scoop. Great article by the Daily Caller. There's another great article by Washington Examiner, 47 printed pages. Sessions exonerated. Remember that story? He didn't list meetings he had with the Russian ambassador and going after him. And Russians weren't just hacking the election. They hacked our power grid, the Washington Post claimed. And Republicans funded the dossier. Turned out not to be true. And CNN's gets Comey's prediction wildly wrong when he asserted that he was prepared to contradict a key claim by President Trump that Comey told him he was not under investigation. By the way, Jim Comey signed off on the FISA warrant in October 2016. When you do that, you're claiming that it is vetted, fair, accurate, and true, but they never told the FISA judges in all four cases that, in fact, Hillary bought and paid for it. Steele was fired, by the way, by the FBI for lying and leaking. They didn't tell him that either. In three of the applications, they didn't say that Steele hates Trump. They didn't say that this is unverified and uncorroborated. It's 17. Remember, they kept hearing about 17 intelligence agencies. Hillary Clinton said it for months. Agree that Russia interfered with the 2016 election. Well, only four intelligence agencies ultimately deemed that. And it went on. This happens every second of every day. They lie. They were wrong about, you know, Cambridge police rushed to judgment. Trayvon Martin rushed to judgment. Richard Jewell rushed to judgment. Duke Lacrosse rushed to judgment. UVA rushed to judgment. Then you got to rush Ferguson, Missouri, rushed to judgment. Look at the consequences of what they do every single day. Now, you think that's bad on Friday. Now we got this whole other story that emerged over the weekend. You get a small snippet of videotape that is released. And within seconds, your news media is telling you that these kids from Covington High School, they're a bunch of kids that were wearing Make America Great Again hats, that they were taunting a Native American elder. Apparently, there was the Indigenous Peoples March in D.C. on Friday. Viral videos show men, nearly all of which, you know, wearing the pro-Trump gear. And as the one kid that stood there. You know what they didn't show is that, and actually I think the tribal elder and leader that was playing the drum, I think he sensed something was wrong because you also had there the black Israelites and the horrible things that they were saying to these kids from high school, calling them racists and bigots and far worse than that. And the guy's name is Nathan Phillips. I sense they didn't show that the kids didn't go up to the Native American leader. He walked up to them. And the kid said, well, I was trying to be respectful and smile and show him that we're just here and we mean nobody any harm. Like I would believe that about the guy that was playing the drum. And you got this group, the Hebrew Israelites, that believe African Americans are God's chosen people and the real descendants of the Hebrews of the Bible. And the militant members have a very strange list of enemies. Apparently they dislike, I'm reading from the Washington Post now, by the way. They hate white people, Jewish people, Asian people, members of the LGBTQ community, abortion rights advocates, etc., and a bunch of other bizarre things that these kids were being subject to. We got the tape.
Let's make America great again. A bunch of child molesting.
See how you got these pompous come down here in the middle of a Native rally with their dirty hat on?
You got all these dirty behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your cool ass, you want to fight your brother.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
So they were being subject to that, and they started singing school songs to kind of get the temperature down a little bit. According to the kid, he wrote a long response to what really, even the school threw them down the stairs. You know, this, and the media went nuts again and got it wrong again. Well, now the apologies are rolling, and even the school didn't defend their own kids or even hear what their version of events. Shocking, another rush to judgment. NBC actually blasted the kids as racist. There's no indication at all. The people that were racist there were the black Israelites screaming at the kids. You know, it's many calling them racist out of whole cloth. It was all over the news media. By the way, and Chuck Todd is very upset. You know, here's the moderator of Meet the Press, somebody that will never be Tim Russert in his lifetime. And, you know, he's upset over the BuzzFeed story and irritated that it's going to be used to tar all the media. Hey, Chuck, your network rushed to judgment on those kids and blasted them as racist. Oh, that's your, are you going to condemn your own network? I doubt it. So without any facts, without any exploratory, investigative questioning of any kind. Oh, and then what happened is the kids didn't confront the Native American veteran. And I do believe I think he saw that there was stuff going on. I think he did go over and he said he was praying and it was a chant. I think he went over for all the right reasons. And the kid said, I purposely tried to smile and be nice to show that, you know, we're not threatening. We're here. You know, we're not against anybody here. One LA DJ called for Covington Catholic School to be burned down with the kids locked inside. And then Twitter said they didn't violate the rules. I think Jack Dorsey may want to revisit that one, you know, considering all that we know. It is an information crisis. They regularly lie. They propagandize. They manipulate. They advance a political agenda. And it's all things Democratic Party. Oh, by the way, Democrats were just as guilty as the media running to impeachment on Friday. This is every single second, minute, hour of every day to bring this president down, bring his family down, bring his supporters down, and destroy them. That's what you talk about, the forces of hate that I explain. You have, obviously, the Democratic Party. They did the same thing as the media because they're tied at the hip. Oh, manufacturing a crisis. They can't even think of their own independent thoughts. You know, they're so tied at the hip. And this is what we now have as media. Look, if they want to be talk show hosts like me, sure they look up to me. They can change what they do, but don't tell us you're a news organization and you only do news when it's mostly speculation, regurgitating lies, opinions with an agenda to destroy the president.
If this BuzzFeed News report is true, then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
Wrong.
If it were to be true, it means the president told someone to lie under oath, which very simply is a crime and is impeachable.
Wrong.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
Wrong.
If you can prove that the president ordered it, that to certainly rises to the level of impeachable offense.
wrong.
We're going to know if the president of the United States committed a federal felony. And at that point, we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right.
Wrong.
Is that an impeachable offense?
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
Wrong.
That is considered an impeachable offense.
Wrong.
Absolutely, these are impeachable offenses.
Wrong.
Inside that answer, I did hear the I word impeachable.
Impeachment is a very fine alternative way to deal with this.
Wrong.
Democrats will move maybe faster, maybe more aggressively toward impeachment.
Wrong.
There are an awful lot of similarities between a couple of the articles of impeachment against Nixon and the elements of this story.
Wrong.
The very same offense for which the House of Representatives moved to impeach Richard Nixon.
Wrong.
In the past, been impeachable.
Yeah, that is the exact way that Nixon was kicked out of office.
I know, we got to talk about...
Wrong.
It's one of the things that drove Richard Nixon out of office.
Wrong.
So, fake news, CNN, MSNBC... mentioned Trump and impeachment nearly 200 times. I love the statement. We did a montage on TV. If true, we've not independently verified, but this is how bad it is. And they'd go on and on and on all day. I went over in the beginning of the program all of the signs that this was absolutely a false story, including the two reporters contradicting each other about what they said they saw in two separate interviews. Then the history of one of the reporters, the same guy that said once, Karl Rove is going to be indicted. No, never happened. And the Columbia School of Journalism just tearing this guy to shreds about his so-called reporting and sourcing. 200 times they make this. This is a major, unmitigated disaster, but it is now a daily occurrence. And if we ever get to the bottom of all of it, the truth, there's going to be many more that aren't just going to be under investigation. They'll be indicted. And we learned, I think, the biggest story last week is John Solomon's story, which, of course, Bruce Orr warned everybody in the DOJ and the FBI, warned them all that the dossier was Clinton bought and paid for. It was unverified. It was not corroborated. He warned them all in August of 2016, but it became the bulk of information to create a FISA warrant, again, not verified, not corroborated, against Carter Page, who's going to join us, by the way, in the next hour. Anyway, Greg Jarrett, John Solomon are with us. So there's bias in two ways here, John. Number one is that they race and rush with, you know, anybody can make, well, I think Donald Trump did this. And it's going to be 24/7 headlines, whether they've corroborated or not. They run to impeachment every single time, and they miss stories like yours, which was a massive, huge breakthrough in the deep state story, which we've all been working on now for almost 2 years.
Well, listen, anytime journalists get a story wrong, it disserves the public. And this is a big story, and it's a big wrong. It is very rare for a prosecutor to issue a statement like Robert Mueller did on Friday night. And, you know, this is the same news organization that early on blew past the normal thresholds of journalism and decided to publish the unredacted dossier before it had done any verification. So it's not surprising that BuzzFeed standards have disserved them a second time. But I think the bigger issue is the rush to judgment that we saw all across the media. And this is a problem that in the Trump era, you and I have talked about extensively and Greg has written about. We have a media today that hopes that something is true rather than checks it to see if it is true. And until we fix that, until we wind that back, I think my profession is going to continue to deserve the public. And this story did nobody any good. It really didn't. It set us all back in journalism, and it set the country on an unnecessary roller coaster. So,
well, Chuck Todd is irritated about it in a Twitter outburst that the BuzzFeed story is being used to tar all in the media. Maybe forgetting that his network, they jumped the gun on this story all day right. Friday, and they jumped the gun on the Covington school story and, you know, even said that the kid was racist without any independent corroboration. Let's get back to with Greg Jarrett. I thought last week was a huge breakthrough week in terms of the investigation into the deep state.
Right.
Further corroboration of your number one best-selling book.
Yeah, and the BuzzFeed story is Exhibit A. The credibility of the mainstream media in America is either dead or dying. At best, it's on life support. And, you know, there were red flags all over the BuzzFeed story. First of all, BuzzFeed is the Charmin of toilet paper news on the internet. It's soft and absorbent. They'll run with anything. And there were, you know, their story made no sense.
You know, you're really
sense.
A wordsmith, Greg. Well, I got to give you credit for that one.
You know,
I never heard that one.
You could tell from the very beginning. I mean, who writes lie to Congress in a memo or, you know, in writing somebody? Nobody does that. And second of all, it doesn't matter whether the discussions with Moscow ended in January or June. It doesn't make any difference. Why would you lie about that? Why would you lie about a non-crime? So, you know, CNN and MSNBC, which ran wild with this, with their hair on fire for 24 hours, treating President Trump like a human piñata, should have known better, but they didn't care. They were so eager and anxious to bring down the president. There is no shortage of media malpractice in the age of Trump.
But it's always been. They're not honest about who they are.
Right.
Look, I tell everybody, anybody that will ask, what do you do for a living? I'm a talk show host. I am part of the media. I'm part of the press. I do straight reporting. I can hand over hours of radio and TV where I just go straight down the middle, report a story. Usually, you know, if it's a hurricane or Katrina, whatever it happens to be, the war in Afghanistan, Iraq. But then I also, we've been doing for 2 years, all of us, investigative reporting. I also give opinion.
Right.
And sometimes we just have fun and cut up. But I say who I am.
Right.
But I'm like a full newspaper. They say they're news only.
Television anchors and hosts on MSNBC and CNBC pretend that they're fair and objective. They are not. They are motivated by political bias and personal animus. They are relentless in their quest to prove that the president is illegitimate, to drive him from office. They have abandoned objectivity and suspended all sense of fairness. They've allowed their enmity to cloud their judgment. They are open advocates for Trump's demise, and they pretend they are not.
You know, John, I think the stories, we first started this journey when you co-authored a news piece about the intel, and in other words, that there was in fact
March 2017,
2017, and that the intel community had been weaponized for political purposes, and you saw a dramatic 350% increase in 2016 in surveillance, unmasking, and other, and then we learned later leaking raw intelligence. We've been right every step of the way. Now, it's become the biggest abuse of power story scandal in modern history. And but for us and a small group of us, there are others, it doesn't get reported. Why?
Yeah. It behooves me. There's a false choice that the media has put up, which is you either are investigating Trump or you're investigating the FBI. And the fact of the matter is you can do both simultaneously. We did it after 9/11. We did it to the CIA during the height of the Cold War with the Church hearings. There is a willful desire not to look at the issues that the FBI misconduct clearly shows, and it is behooving to me because the FBI has access to tens of thousands of investigations a year and tens of millions of Americans' phone and email record. That is such an awesome power that journalism should use its good and its investigative reporting capabilities to keep an eye on that, and instead we put a willful blind eye to it, except for a handful of us. I can't explain it other than to say that the profession has changed terribly.
It's a dereliction of duty. But, you know, we have this rush.
It is a dereliction of duty. You're right.
Look, we have this rush to judgment. I mentioned firsthand a rush to judgment, and I was skeptical naturally in Atlanta with Richard Jewell. But it's advanced. Right. Cambridge Police, Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman. Look at Duke Lacrosse. Look at UVA. Look at Ferguson, Missouri. Look at Baltimore. Look at nobody. Nobody vetted Obama. I literally spent an entire year doing something nobody else would do. I think I've been proven right. And that is a dereliction of duty, especially because they were champions. They were openly getting, you know, orgasmic on the air with thrills up their legs and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Chris Matthews, who's famous, you know, I'm getting a thrill up my leg.
The feeling most people get when they hear a Barack Obama speech, I felt this thrill going up my leg.
I mean, Chris Matthews should never live that down. And, you know, the media's reaction to the BuzzFeed story, which was, you know, patently false, anybody with a brain knew it was untrue, shows that the media repeatedly and consistently convicts the president in the court of public opinion without any credible evidence. And they often do it based on false reports, and there have been many of them. Sadly, rank speculation is now treated as fact. Stories are agenda-driven, not information-driven. And you played the clips, Sean, a few minutes ago. Indictment, impeachment, imprisonment are persistent themes in both print and television news as they condemn the president at every turn. They demonize him. They declare him guilty of something, anything.
I found 47 printed pages from the Washington Examiner of the media's coverage of Donald Trump where they've been wrong. And that's just 1 year. Wow. That year is 2017. And we were scrolling it on Friday night. It happens with regularity. They never get held accountable because they'd have to hold themselves accountable. And, you know, that's why I think there is an information crisis. More importantly, what is your story and the knowledge of two of the top FBI members under Comey being under criminal investigation? And now the story, Bruce Ohr warning everybody about the whole FISA and the dossier.
Right.
Where does this now take us? Because in my mind, that would lead to an indictment of anybody that signed on to the FISA warrant if what the Grassley Graham memo is saying is true, and that is it's the bulk of information in the application.
Well, while the rest of the profession was hyperventilating over the weekend over BuzzFeed and other silly stories, you know, there was an important development. Lindsey Graham, the new chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, made clear he intends to dig into these issues in a big way. I know, Sean, you've been predicting that, but Lindsey Graham came out for the first time and said, this is part of my agenda for the next few months. He has subpoena power. He has many capabilities to get to the bottom of these issues. You've got several people who have resigned or were fired. You've got two under criminal investigation, and you got an FBI director who, by his own acknowledgement, had classified memos that he apparently gave to his defense attorneys. There are a lot of serious issues. A lot of bad actors were at the top of this FBI at a critical time when the Hillary Clinton investigation was being wound down and when the Donald Trump investigation was being spun up. And we have to keep digging until we get the answer.
John thinks the next step in the deep state investigation is going to head right to the Clintons and how they were feeding the FBI.
Sure.
How ironic, because they bought the dossier.
Right. Trump-Russia collusion was the Russia hoax, and I spent an entire book explaining it. The real and legitimate collusion was between Hillary Clinton and the Russians. She paid for Russian information that was given to her through an ex-British spy to damage Donald Trump. She fed it to the FBI and the Department of Justice, who ran with it, even though they never verified or corroborated the information. They had no probable cause, no reasonable suspicion, no credible evidence to launch the investigation of Donald Trump in July of 2016, right after he got his nomination. But they didn't care. They used a phony document. They knew it was fabricated, and they used it as a pretext to not only investigate Donald Trump, but to lie to a court, to spy on his campaign. And then the worst of it came when the president fired James Comey, the FBI, in an act of vengeance and retribution, decided to abuse their counterintelligence powers to investigate the president over whether he's a Russian agent. It's outrageous.
I got to end this real quick, John. When do you think this new information is coming out that will tie the Clintons feeding the FBI this phony narrative?
I think later this week. I'm working on some stuff, and I know other reporters are, and I think there's a very clear pattern beginning to emerge. And, you know, Greg hit it on the head. They walked it into the FBI. But one of the more interesting things is when they walked it into the normal channels of the FBI, it got turned down, right? Chris Steele got turned down when he went to London on July 5th. So they had to go through the political channels. And I think that pivot is going to become very enlightening to the American public.
Well, that's also what McCabe said. No dossier, no FISA application. As a matter of fact, at the top of the hour, we're going to be joined by Carter Page and get his reaction to all of this. It impacted his life dramatically for a year. Greg Jarrett, John Solomon, thank you.
We are hearing from a Native American elder and Vietnam War veteran speaking to CNN after a disturbing viral video shows a group of teens harassing and mocking him in the nation's capital.
An interaction between Native marchers and a group of high school students who were in D.C. for the anti-abortion March for Life. At least some of the students were from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. The Catholic Diocese of Covington, which oversees the school, said in a statement, quote, "We condemn the actions of the Covington Catholic School students towards Nathan Phillips specifically and Native Americans in general. We extend our deepest apologies to Mr. Phillips. This behavior is opposed to the church's teachings on the dignity and respect of the human person." The diocese also said the matter is under investigation and that some students could be expelled.
Bunch of child molested.
See how you got these pompous come down here in the middle of a Native rally with their dirty hat on?
You got all these dirty behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your cool you want to fight your brother.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
All right, so those kids were there from Covington High School, and they were there for the pro-life march, and a small snippet gets out to the media, and it happened to be a Native American that was playing music on the mall where this is happening, and you would think that, you know, there was this big stare-down moment. Then when the longer version of video starts coming out, a whole different story begins to emerge. And we begin to hear and see what's called the Black Israelites, is what they call themselves, taunting the kids from the school, the boys from the school. And you have the Native American, Nathan Phillips. He walked towards the kids, and the one kid in particular that just stood there and tried to smile, he said it was very uncomfortable, just wanted to show that the man respect. And what it is, once again, is the media's rush to judgment. Wow, these MAGA hat wearing students are teenagers. Everybody rushes to judgment, just like they do all the time. Just like in the case of the BuzzFeed story. You know, NBC blasting the Catholic students as racist, and they didn't retract a lot of what it is that they said. This is all on the heels of the BuzzFeed story. And poor Chucky Todd, it's his network that refer to these kids as racist. He's upset in a Twitter outburst on Saturday. You know, he's out there saying those trying to tar all the media were dubious BuzzFeed story by suggesting they aren't interested in improving journalism, but protecting themselves. But they get it wrong all of the time. Now, I understand that everybody has a right. The tribal leader has a right to play his music. The Black Israelites that are extraordinarily racist and bigoted, and we've got the tape. We have the tapes of them screaming at these kids, taunting these kids. The kids, as a means of sort of responding, started singing some of the school songs that they have and that they all knew. But the more important issue here is one little snippet, and everybody rushes to judgment. That's the problem in this particular case. Media goes absolutely insane, you know, wildly mischaracterizing a video of Covington Catholic students. And, you know, for example, the Native American leader walked up to the kids, you know, was playing, walked right up to them. It wasn't the kids' fault that they were being taunted and yelled at by the Black Israelites. I think that they are the true, you know, descendants of God. Everybody then in the media that rushed to judgment is now quickly saying, oh, whoopsie daisy, I got it wrong. They get it wrong all the time. They got it wrong on Friday all day. This is now Sunday. And they get it wrong again with their rush to judgment. And the thing is they're not being held accountable for what their actions are here. Well, a lot of good, even their own school rushed to judgment before they heard the whole story. And this is the social media mob that just in this day and age has gotten so hostile and so insane that they don't even want to hear another side of a story. You call it a fake news crisis, an information crisis, journalism being dead. You know, it's, I mean, you cannot make this up back to back like this, because it's happening every day. Every single second, every minute, every hour of every day, you have print media, cable news media, and the networks. They are working every second to try and destroy the president. BuzzFeed report, nobody verifies, nobody corroborates, and they call for impeachment 200 times on CNN, MSNBC, 200 times. They go, we can't verify. Impeach him. That's not journalism. If they want to do, if they want to have opinion, they want to be a talk show host like I am, and we're a part of the media, we're a part of the press, we're honest about who we are. Linda, how many hours have we done of breaking news? She's not listening. Hello, there's a show going on. How many hours?
I was just talking about a cut that we wanted, but please continue.
How many hours of straight news reporting over the years you've been working on the show have we done? Hundreds, hundreds and hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds of hours.
Right. If something's happening, we just go to the story, ask questions objectively, don't give my opinion. We do it all the time.
Straight shot.
Straight shot. How many years now have we spent doing investigative work? We invested and vetted Obama when nobody else would do it. Right. We didn't rush to judgment. We investigated Trayvon and George Zimmerman. We did our own investigation. Same with Ferguson.
You were the one who
same with Baltimore.
No, 7 when nobody else did.
Right. And or I took the time to actually go meet the Duke lacrosse kids, or at least some of them. I went to their house.
Stephanopoulos when he couldn't think of his own.
Yeah. Well, they didn't. One time Obama's asked about Ayers and Dorn when Stephanopoulos was hosting the debate the next day. Is on with us. They said, well, you're going to ask about Ayers and Dorn. He goes, who are they? I mean, and then the media got furious at him. Hannity fed you that question. Well, it should have been. You should have known yourself. They are not who they say. We do news. We do investigative reports. We do opinion. And the analogy is we're like the whole newspaper, but we're honest about it. They claim they're only the news division. They claim they're journalists. That would be one part of the newspaper. But they really also give more opinion than news, and their speculation runs rampant. Anyway, here to weigh in, D.C. McAllister's with us. She co-wrote the best-selling book Spygate with our good friend Dan Bongino. He is a genius. And senior contributor at The Federalist. Also, Scott Levinson is with us, Democratic strategist and the president of the Advance Group, former chief operations for the Office of Public Advocate of the city of New York. How are you doing? Which mayor did you work for? Right. Which mayor did you work for in New York?
Worked for Mayor Dinkins.
You know, I met Mayor Dinkins on numerous occasions. He is like the nicest man.
He is a great.
He's a great man.
Gentleman.
A gentleman in every way. Yeah. He was a horrible mayor, but he was a great guy. I see him all the time at the U.S. Open.
We can debate his mayorality, but the bottom line is
No. He's such a decent gentleman. I totally agree with you. All right, let me ask you this. So the news media runs with a story and they don't vet it. And it's also what they don't report. Like Comey's FBI, you have both his general counsel, deputy FBI director, and others under criminal investigation. And we learned last week that all of them were warned about the dossier. They don't report those stories. You know, how do you justify the media acting in such a biased way?
Sean, what I'm really most confused about in this story,
I'll help you,
is how we're not able to, thank you, I knew you would, is how we're not able to deal with the Nathan Phillips confrontation for what it is. What concerned me most about the student's public relations crafted response today, and frankly your lead-in today, was how we brought the black Israelites into the story. Because it's as if, we have another story of some non-white people over here that we should bring into the story in order to explain
But we have the tapes of them literally saying pretty horrible things, and we know things about them as well, which makes it, in my view, twice as bad. Let's play some of it.
Let's make America great again. A bunch of child molesting.
See how you got these pompous
come down here in the middle of a Native rally with their dirty hat on.
You got all these dirty ass behind you with a red Make America Great hat again on, and your cool ass, you want to fight your brother.
A bunch of incest babies. A bunch of babies made out of incest.
A bunch of babies.
Hey, Sean, you don't see the inherent racism in playing those tapes in the context of discussing the Nathan Phillips confrontation.
Hold on. That really. Are you really going to defend what they were saying?
That tape? No, I'm not. If you'd hear the question, what does that tape have to do with
I'll explain
the
it to you. I'll explain
Nathan
it to you
Phillips.
Because that was the threatening environment that these kids found themselves in, that then if you actually read not the whatever press release you're referring to today, but D.C. McAllister, the one boy in particular, when the Native American leader came up right to him playing his drum, he said, I wanted to smile and be non-threatening. He had written an extensive response to what had actually happened here.
Well, when you watch the tape, you see that the context, like you said, was the black Hebrew Israelites were verbally attacking these boys. And then Native Americans came in and said that they were confronting the boys because they thought that they were attacking the black. And the problem here, and the point I want to make here to both of you, to everyone who's listening, these are children. They are boys, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, young teenagers being verbally attacked and intimidated by grown men. Every one of those men, I don't care what color they were, black, yellow, purple, red, they are grown men and they were attacking young boys.
You know,
they
about
be ashamed of themselves. This is not about racism or anything of the such. These are grown men out of identity politics attacking young men.
Now, by the way,
I don't want to hear any talk about racism from any of you and calling them out for their racist bigotry and them attacking young boys.
For you to bring in the black Israelites to discuss how these boys treated the Native American
created the conflict. They created the conflict.
It's an inability to address how these boys dealt with the Native elder. Because you refuse to deal with that, you want to say,
Hang on. Wait a second. We got to add a fact here. The Native American who was playing the music walked up to them, in part because it seemed like he wanted to bring peace to the situation. That's my interpretation.
Hang on a second.
The Hebrew Israelites that were attacking these boys and calling them horrible names and attacking them, remember, this is a group that believes that African Americans are God's chosen people, the real descendants of the Hebrews in the Bible. They say that they were there to treat, but this is a group with the militant members that has a very long list of enemies that are well known, including white people, Jewish people, Asian people, members of the LGBTQ community, abortion rights advocates, et cetera, et cetera. That's according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, hardly a conservative group.
100% correct. It's racist deflection to not address how the children dealt with the Native American elder.
What were they supposed
to
do when they were being attacked?
That's a great question because that is a great question, what Sean just asked. The easiest thing to do, be decent, be respectful, walk away. It was the easiest
thing they could have done.
It's just not true. All he had to do was walk away.
These were children. Do you hear me? They were boys surrounded by grown-ups. They could not move very easily. At first, they thought the Native American was helping them, and then they stood there, and the man got right in his face with that drum beating that he could have hit that young boy off his head at any given moment. And the boy said, I stood there praying silently, smiling when I could, to defuse the situation, waiting where I was told to wait by my adults for the bus that was coming for me because I was flanked on every side by hostility. These young men, the onus was not on the young boys to walk away, but by the grown-ups who should have known better not to treat young boys this way. So if you want to sit here and call these young boys racist or irresponsible or they should have acted better, then you've got a problem. You need to understand what it means to be an adult and what it means this child.
I have a last question for Scott. Scott, why don't you condemn the black Israelites?
Again, I have no... I'm not in any way going to defend the black Israelites.
But seems like they started it.
The issue. But again,
I got to run. All right. I appreciate you both. Quick break. Right back. We'll continue.
The story, which has not been confirmed by NBC News. We should note CNN has not independently confirmed BuzzFeed's reporting, nor, for that matter, has anyone else.
An explosive new report that, if true,
if it's true,
if true,
if you believe the reporting,
if this is confirmed,
if all of this is true,
if true,
if true,
then we are likely on our way to possible impeachment proceedings.
If it were to be true, it means the president told someone to lie under oath, which very simply is a crime and is impeachable.
If this story is true, we must begin impeachment proceedings.
If you can prove that the president ordered it, that to certainly rise to the level of impeachable offense.
We're going to know if the president of the United States committed a federal felony. And at that point, we are in high crimes and misdemeanor, and we are in impeachment territory.
Right. Is that an impeachable offense?
This is suborning perjury. I think there's no question it's an impeachable offense.
That is considered an impeachable offense.
Absolutely, these are impeachable offenses.
Inside that answer, I did hear the I word impeachable.
Impeachment is a very fine alternative way to deal with this.
Democrats will move maybe faster, maybe more aggressively toward impeachment.
There are an awful lot of similarities between a couple of the articles of impeachment against Nixon and the elements of this story.
The very same offense for which the House of Representatives moved to impeach Richard Nixon.
In the past, been impeachable.
Yeah, that is the exact way that Nixon was kicked out of office.
It's one of the things that drove Richard Nixon out of office.
CNN has not corroborated this reporting.
CNN, we should be clear, has not independently confirmed this.
CNN has not independently confirmed this reporting.
It is important for us to note this morning that neither CNN nor any other major news outlet has so far confirmed BuzzFeed's reporting.
Yes, I thought that the BuzzFeed piece, and maybe equally as bad, the coverage of the BuzzFeed phony story. It was a total phony story. And I appreciate the special counsel coming out with a statement last night. I think it was very appropriate that they did so. I very much appreciate that. I think that the BuzzFeed piece was a disgrace to our country. It was a disgrace to journalism. And I think also that the coverage by the mainstream media was disgraceful. And I think it's going to take a long time for the mainstream media to recover its credibility. It's lost tremendous credibility. And believe me, that hurts me when I see that. I'm the president of this country. Media could pull this country together. It hurts me to say it, but mainstream media has truly lost its credibility. And I can say, as far as I'm concerned, from before the election, during the campaign, I said, wow, this is really crooked stuff. This is really dishonest reporting. When the New York Times apologized after the election for their bad coverage and their faulty coverage, and then they were wonderful for 2 weeks, and then they went back to being worse than ever before, and so many others. I'm not just blaming the Times. But the mainstream media has lost its credibility, and that's a very bad thing for our country. Thank you very much.
It's an information crisis beyond anything that we've ever seen before. And for them to think that they can get away, I mean, Chuck Todd is outraged today. You know why? Because he's irritated the dubious reporting of BuzzFeed that was all over his network all day long. Now, they think there's some caveat when they say, well, we have an independently confirmed. But if true, then the media raced over 200 separate occasions. They said that it would lead to impeachment. They never did any vetting. They just go with what they say. And then it happens with the Covington High School kid. Two, CNN and MSNBC, the two of them together, mentioned Trump impeachment over 200 times. I'm not even talking about the rest of the media. And this is what I mean when I say journalism in America is dead. It is dead. It is gone. It is buried. It is finished. You know, as we told you Friday, and Linda did not want me spending much time on this on Friday. We had a disagreement about this. And I said, well, there are too many warning signs here. You had, number one, the BuzzFeed. You had two reporters on this story. One said they saw the information and the other said they didn't. Ding, ding, ding. Alarm bell went off in my brain. Then the history of their lead reporter. He's the guy that once reported that Karl Rove was about to be indicted or was going to be or had been indicted. The Columbia School of Journalism had already looked into his work and basically called him a liar that made up sources. In other words, in the past, they published fake reports as well. BuzzFeed also makes the same mistake as everyone else in the media about the Covington kids. And for those of you that question why I'm off Twitter, because we don't rush to judgment. We've been right about, I learned this with Richard Jewell. He fits the profile of a lone bomber because he lives with his mother. We were right on Duke lacrosse. We were right on UVA in Ferguson. We were right about the Cambridge police. We were right about Baltimore. And we also were the only ones vetting Obama. And we're also right on the deep state. Anyway, here to weigh in. We got a lot more to get to. I want to bring Carter Page in here because he has some news. You've been lied about a lot, haven't you?
Absolutely, Sean. And what's amazing about it is BuzzFeed, you know, the one that got this story so wrong, they were relatively correct when they put out their big dossier on January 10th, 2017.
Right.
It was other news outlets the prior year that did the election interference and which led to the FISA abuse.
But BuzzFeed never vetted the dossier.
No, although it was still much more incorrect than the things. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, when you read it, I actually find it entertaining because none of it was ever true. And then we had the big revelation by John Solomon last week, which was Bruce Orr had told everybody, Clinton paid for it, that it was a political document, that it was not verified or corroborated. And that was in August of 2016. They filed their first FISA warrant against you in October.
Well, that's what's so funny about all those quotes that you were showing from the fake news media about obstruction of justice, right? I mean, we have very strong evidence building that that is exactly what the Obama administration and their operatives were doing.
You know, one thing Joe DeGeneva said on Friday, this is the Barr effect, that he thinks the incoming attorney general, William Barr, is going to sit down with Robert Mueller and going to ask, was it true? And he would say, no, it's not true. Why didn't you tell people? But this is not one story. It's another. For example, it's previously been leaked that you were an informant for the U.S. in the intelligence community. When you would go on these trips to Russia, you willingly sat down with the FBI, the CIA, and you were debriefed all the time. You've assisted them. You assisted the FBI earlier when Mueller was the director, didn't you?
Yeah, that's, you know, again, a lot of these fake stories were focused on some of the help that I provided, which led to various indictments during Comey's term as director. But I had also helped back and actually provided much more assistance back when Director Mueller was.
So Robert Mueller knew you, knew your work, knew your loyalty to your country.
Well, again,
this is important because you would be debriefed and it had already been leaked that you were an informant for our intelligence community.
Absolutely.
And they used you for years.
Well, and I also said that in my letter to Director Comey, you know, 2 days after the fake news Yahoo report, which he ended up using as part of the obstruction of justice in the FISA court the following month in October 2016, a couple weeks before the election. So it's pretty sad.
Well, I think this is an important part because it's also your name and reputation. But they got four FISA warrants based on a dossier that Clinton paid for, but they didn't tell the judges she paid for it. They literally, if it's the bulk of information, I'll quote Deputy FBI Director Andrew McCabe said, no dossier, no FISA warrant. They used it each and every time. One in the original application in October before the election and three subsequent applications. That was to spy on you, an American citizen.
Well, yes and no, Sean. I mean, the one caveat, and I think it goes back to the point that the president was making about the BuzzFeed report, right? It's a sad situation for our country. And it's a great quote that the president always said during the campaign. It's not about me. It's about us. They weren't looking to just spy on me. It was all of my communications with other members of the Trump campaign.
Once they got into permission to get into your email, That then opened up everything to the Trump campaign.
Email and wiretapping. You know, as,
and wiretapping,
the,
as
the president correctly stated in March of 2017.
And the media
with his
mocked
tweets.
Him about that at the time.
Not only the media mocked him, but on March 20th, 2017, Director Comey, talking to Adam Schiff at the House Intelligence Committee, big live hearing that day, you know, also misrepresented the situation, which has again been proven to
see,
if get him correct.
If the new attorney general only follows the law, applies the law equally, and then and we have equal justice under the law, that means all of them. Every single one that signed off on that fake, phony, fraudulent dossier that they all knew was fraudulent, that they were warned was fraudulent, warned it was political, warned also, and again, this is a conspiracy, really, when you think about it, to literally destroy, but commit a, by committing a fraud on FISA court judges.
Absolutely.
What would happen to you if you lied to a court purposefully?
No question, I would be locked up ages ago. Absolutely.
You see any signs in your dealings with either the special counsel or the people at the Department of Justice of any improvements?
I think I was very encouraged by that, the reaction on Friday night to that BuzzFeed story. To me, that was really taking a big step forward in terms of bringing our country together. This has been, as you were just saying, such a divisive element, which has really torn our country apart.
The only thing I do is I think it cements people in people's minds, those that understood the media is fake and agenda driven and they're not rooted in any journalism, but they're all listen, I'm a talk show host. I do straight news. I would do investigative reporting. I do strong opinion. I have hours of straight reporting that I can play or you can listen to. But I admit it. They claim they're objective. They're not.
Well, to your point, and I think you're being very humble, Sean, but the fact that you're number one on TV and number one on the radio, I think, you know, speaks to
well,
that.
Russia's doing pretty well there,
well,
too. So
but definitely by far on TV, though, yeah.
So let me ask you this. What was your reaction to the DNC's court filings in your civil case in Oklahoma, which I guess is going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm pretty it's very similar to these same concepts where people are just not really telling the truth and not following the rule of law. And I think, you know, it's a very fluid situation right now because so much is changing and so much of the truth is coming out there. And tomorrow I'm going to file a additional court filing, which provides some of the an update to the court in Oklahoma, telling them some of the details which were revealed last week.
So you're going to file. Well, why don't we pick it up when we get back?
Sounds good.
You have some news to break. Also, I understand you wrote Rod Rosenstein and Robert Mueller. Did they ever write you back?
No, you know, this is right after the appointment, you know, 1 month
of the special counsel.
Yeah, right. Yep.
All right, stay there. We'll get back. We'll continue. Hey, listen. And as we continue, Carter Page is our guest. He's agreed to stay a little past the half hour as we have too much news that's breaking. I want to get to what you're going to do tomorrow. You had written Rod Rosenstein and Robert Mueller. The date on this is May 18th. This is right after Mueller was appointed. And you put Donald Trump on Twitter with all the illegal acts that took place in the Clinton campaign and Obama administration. There was never a special counsel appointed. You wrote that to both of them, and you said the POTUS is right, and as he was in the Trump wiretap tweet from early March about me, us, this week requested FISA disclosure will help our country get to the bottom of all this and end the Clinton's nonsense once and for all. Did you ever hear back?
No, again, that was just one in a series of many emails that I sent to both of them early in the at the point after the special counsel was appointed. So
did you? You've never heard back from either of them?
No.
And you knew Mueller from past experience because you worked in intelligence, basically.
Not personally. I never actually met him, but again, I was. You know, I know he had a strong track record as director of the FBI.
But he knew that you worked, you were an intelligence agent, basically.
Well, I think I was always willing to help my country. Let's just put it that way, a volunteer.
And by the way, that is, for anybody in a foreign country, especially a country like Russia, a pretty dangerous thing to do.
Well, that's a longer story because it gets into this other assistance I had provided while Director Comey was in office in those indictments of those Russians in the Southern District of New York. And that's sort of a long story because some of the representations in that court filing of...
You know are false.
They were not entirely reflective of reality.
And you think that's the FBI's fault or the Southern District's fault, or you don't know?
You know, I'm always very cautious, Sean, not to point fingers and point blame. But, you know, I think I have put in various FOIA requests asking for more disclosure.
Well, I'm sure they love that, too. All right. Got to take a break. We'll come back more with Carter Page and your calls on the other side. 800-941-SEAN. Toll-free telephone number. I can't even begin to describe what an amazing show we have on TV tonight. 9 Eastern, Hannity on Fox. All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. We're going to get to your calls in a few minutes. A few more moments, though, with Carter Page. I asked you about the case, your filings and your civil case in Oklahoma and the judge there. Why don't you just give a quick reminder and then talk about what you're planning to do tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, this is my case against the DNC and Perkins Coie and a couple of their partners who have now been shown to have been involved in the fraudulent dossier, which was used to for obstruction of justice in the FISA court. So I filed a lawsuit there back in October, and we've had various motions back and forth. And so tomorrow is just a quick update to the court with a lot of the breaking news, just to make sure that it's, you know, they have all the facts in the case. Number one, Attorney General Barr's promise to investigate the dodgy dossier with Senator Lindsey Graham, the discussion last week. Number two, the criminal leak investigation, which just has been exposed surrounding former FBI General Counsel James Baker.
Well, let me just remind people, because we already knew there was a criminal investigation into the deputy FBI director, Andrew McCabe. Andrew McCabe was the one also that said no dossier, no FISA warrant. But they were all warned, which we learned from John Solomon last week in his reporting, that Bruce Orr, he testified under oath that, in fact, everybody in the DOJ and FBI at the highest levels were all warned, number one, who paid for it, Hillary Clinton. Number two, that it was unverified and not corroborated. And number three, they knew it anyway, but the bulk of information was still used on four occasions to spy on you and your family and ruin your life, basically, in a lot of ways.
Well, and actually, it's Hillary Clinton and the DNC, right? And their law firm.
They're the ones that funneled the money to Perkins Coie, hired Fusion GPS, hired Christopher Steele. By the way, Christopher Steele fired for lying and leaking, but still they went back to him again and again. I think one of the most revealing things is Bruce Orr was the conduit for Christopher Steele asking Orr to send more phony info to Special Counsel Mueller.
Well, that's what's so exciting about it right now, Sean, is that I think as more truth continues to come out, and a lot of the things you've been reporting for over a year now is
almost
exposed. Exactly.
All right. So tell us more about tomorrow.
Well, this is, you know, there's a couple of other elements that came out last week. Judge Leon in the District Court of the District of Columbia, you know, had a ruling about the defendants in another case involving Russian entrepreneurs with Fusion GPS, and they had a motion dismissed there, and that was denied by the judge. So, you know, and this is a subcontractor of the DNC. So a lot of great pieces are coming together. It's
why is the Obama White House's top attorney, the lead attorney to the defendants in the case, the DNC case that you have brought forth?
Well, I'm actually very excited that they've put together such a big, strong team. You know, it reminds me of the Larry Bird, Magic Johnson rivalry on the basketball court. You know, it's always great to have top professionals, you know, on the one hand. But on the other hand, I think it's sort of reflective, at least some of the court filings I've seen from them thus far has been reflective of, you know, some of the trends in the Democrat Party where they don't really base their pleadings and their statements on either the fact or how the law actually operates. So it's going to be an interesting several months here.
I would be shocked if you don't win these cases. If, again, there's fairness in our justice system, I couldn't understand why Chief Justice Roberts took issue with the president saying there are Obama judges, true, Clinton judges, true, Reagan judges. You know, every once in a while, they're looking for judicial philosophy they agree with, and they always have. Carter Page, we wish you the best in this. Please keep us updated.
Absolutely, Sean. Thank you.
Anyway, Carter Page, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Sean.
800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Let's get to our busy phones. All right, we start with Sean is in Palm Beach down at WJNO-LAN. What's going on, Sean? How are you? Glad you called.
Fine, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make a comment on the fact that the Dems are trying to blame the government shutdown on the president. I'd like to see this be a trending hashtag. The walls are a trend, are the trend. The government shutdown must end. In 1989, when the Berlin Wall came down, there were 15 walls around the world. At present, there are 77 walls around the world protecting several nations' borders. And we must do the same. We must do the same as to protect our country, its people, and enough is enough. The Democrats are out to basically hand over our country to people that are not deserving of coming to our country. These, you know, I am all for immigrants, if for immigration, if people want to come here legally. But when you have thousands of people. We are now in the millions. I read that there is somewhere between 12 to 29 million undocumented immigrants in this country at present. That means these are people sponging off of our system. These are people where we have American citizens paying taxes, having trouble paying for health insurance, and we are paying for them to live here. And I've had it. Enough is enough. We need
look,
a wall.
The cost side of it is, first you got to look at it as life and death. The drug issue, the 90% of heroin. Then you got to look at the number of homicides, the number of sexual assaults, the number of physical assaults against Americans. Then the cost of it, it has been in the billions of dollars. The educational system, our healthcare system, our criminal justice system. We don't care. We want immigrants to the country. First, we've got to vet you. Second, we've got to make sure you can take care of yourself and be responsible for the basic needs and necessities of an individual. You can't come in and say, oh, by the way, I need free health care. Unless, I guess, you go to California, Gavin Newsom will give it to you. And that's a big part of the debate. That's why I think, you know, if the Democrats aren't going to sit, they're going to ignore every invitation of the president. They're not. Nancy Pelosi won't even take a deal on Dreamers and DACA. The things they said they want, they've all voted for the wall before and said they sounded just like Trump. So I don't think the president is going to have any choice, as I've been saying. I don't care which way he does it. I'm convinced the president will just go it alone, which is fine with me. And by the way, and some liberals will say, well, that's a defeat. If you can't get Congress to sit and negotiate and the drugs are still pouring in, you got to fix it because that's his pledge to the American people. That he made and his constitutional pledge. Let's go to Susanna is in Mississippi. Hey, Susanna, how are you? Glad you called.
Good, thank you. I had a quick question for you. I've been hearing impeachment thrown around a lot, and I'm totally in support of the president. But I remember in high school when Bill Clinton got impeached and nothing happened. So I don't really understand the threat of impeachment.
Actually, something did happen. His approval rating went to almost the highest level in his presidency. Remember, you know, you can impeach somebody in the House. The Senate doesn't even have to take it up. If they decide to hold the trial, you still need 2/3 of the U.S. Senate to convict. It's not going to happen. But the sad thing is, it's very obvious this weekend when the president reached out to the Democrats and said, I want to give you the things you say you want on top of the wall that you once supported, and they won't sit, talk. They rejected it before even made the proposal. Nancy Pelosi won by 2 votes. She cannot even sit down with the president because she's fearful she'll lose her speakership. So he's got to do everything he can on his own, and elections matter, and all the things we warned you about are happening. But it's not going to go anywhere. I've said that at the beginning of the year. I stand by that. It is all the bluster that we saw on Friday night in all of its shame. And all, what should be a huge wake-up call of embarrassment. But we've watched this media of ours. They go from one hysterical. Oh, we got him, we got him, we got him. Turns out to be false, wrong, whatever. And then they just move on to the next one, and to the next one, and to the next one. And it's every second, minute, hour of every day. And in spite of that, there are still people that, you know, are invested and actually think that they are news channels. They're not. They never have been for a long time. They never vetted Obama. You think, with all the corruption and abuse of power with the deep state, how much coverage have they ever given this? Zero. Anyway, thank you, Susanna. We appreciate it. Big time, AJ, Houston, Texas. What's going on, baby?
Big time, Sean Hannity. Hey, I hope you can hear me this time, Big Daddy.
Well, I can hear you great. I love that laugh. I love that laugh.
Hey, Happy New Year to you, Linda, and all the whole crew. I got to get that in already. It ain't too late. But, Mr. Sean, I'd like to know, where is the Republican Party at that's fighting with Donald Trump? That's what I like to know. And this fake news that came out, you know I ramble, this fake news that came out over the BuzzFeed, and now these kids, the school went against the kids. What is this that everybody, the conservatives, can't even back their own players either? I mean, what this news media putting out, Sean, is unbelievable. And like you always say, wait and verify. Don't jump to conclusions.
They jumped to conclusions. How many times, though, do we have to go through these cases? You know, the funny thing is, if I ever, AJ, get one little minute detail wrong, my head's ripped off. I'll be honest. One of the reasons I got off of Twitter, number one, it became a full-time job fighting other people. And number two, it gets to the point. Look, I learned with Richard Jewell. I learned again with the Cambridge police. I learned again with Ferguson and Baltimore and Trayvon Martin and George Zimmerman and the UVA case and the Duke lacrosse case, and that the media never vetted Obama issue and the media won't look in the deep state issue. I have zero respect for these people. People ask me, what do I think of other shows? I don't respect them. They don't do their job, and they're not honest about who they are. You know,
they ought to turn in their cards, Sean. Because, I mean, you know, look, happy MLK. And
yes, sir.
I am appalled about what Obama did when he walked in that door. MLK turning in his grave. That we were supposed to have been to bring the people together. Look what's done happened. I mean, we had problems before him, but look what we got now. Statues going down. God is going out. We getting it back with Donald Trump. And when you ask these idiots, what makes you mad at Trump? They can't tell you. They can't even. The man has brung this country back on a single hand. And that goes back to my question. And I'm sorry to get so excited, Sean. But where are the Republicans at? You guys can't see step back and stand on. We got people coming over here in this caravan, and ain't nobody even opening up a whimper. Pelosi, she needs.
How is it possible? How does Nancy Pelosi sit in her office when angel moms and dads are waiting to say hi? And will you hear our side? Because it totally blows her argument out of the water. Her callous comments at the death of Officer Singh, well, sometimes things happen. But sometimes things are preventable. We can vet the people that we honor. I mean, think about this. If we invite you in, you apply, we vet you, you can take care of yourself, then you get an honor that so many people in this world want, and that is access to the greatest, freest, best country on earth. And there should be high standards. It should be based. We know our first job is to protect the people that are here. You know, if we're having 90% of our heroin coming from that southern border because it's open, we owe it. It's a security issue. Do we love our kids enough to cut off the supply? I think we should. How many other people are going to be victims of crime? When a sanctuary city or state protects somebody that was found guilty of a crime beyond entering the country illegally, in some cases violent crimes, and they kill, well, at that point, the people that let them free and did not deport them, they aid and abet the criminal activity. In some cases, it's life or death and murder. Anyway, big time, AJ. We love you. God bless you. You are a great American in every way possible. Don't forget, on this day, we honor the work of the famous, brave, courageous civil rights activists that fought to make our country better. Martin Luther King Jr. birthday, by the way, was on January 15th, 1929. He would have turned 90 this year. And ever since 1983, it was Ronald Reagan who made it official a national holiday. And if you've never taken the time to listen to those tapes of Martin Luther King Jr., watch some videos that they have. It is amazing. There's never been a better orator or brave fighter in your life. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern, on the Fox News Channel. We'll have more on the total, complete disaster known as the media and everything that happened with them saying, if true, he's going to be impeached. Hope you had a great Martin Luther King Day holiday, and we will see you back here tomorrow. We'll see you tonight at 9.